coral reefs in the Kimberley appear to be highly localised and genetically isolated from other reef systems. The results of a joint study have been published in Evolutionary Applications, showing Kimberley corals have a 35-kilometre neighbourhood. It means they're more vulnerable because coral larvae only travel short distances to repopulate areas. Dr. Jim Underwood is the lead author on the report. He's from the Australian Institute of Marine Science and specialises in genetics.
So we discovered that the reefs are incredibly unique. And these coral larvae that spawn, you know, they head out into the water column. They've got the potential to go a long way in the powerful currents up there. But what we found, which was really quite surprising to us, that in fact they don't go as very far at all. We're looking at a range of about 35 kilometres in which, you know, they just don't, often do they go much further than that. And that's really important to know as we look to design the marine parks up there and look to protect the sources of the reef.
And this is quite surprising, isn't it? Because it's been long assumed that the larvae can travel long distances through the tropical waters and then recolonise when they land in a suitable spot. But your findings are that the corals in the Kimberley are really local.
Yeah, that's right, Vanessa. And you know, the habitat variability up there is just incredible. So you have such different patches of habitat. So that means, you know, there's different temperature regimes, there's different light and things like that. And what we're finding is that the coral are particularly well suited to that particular patch where they're from. So it makes sense to them to, you know, recruit back, to land back where their parents were successfully spent their lives.
What are the implications for this, Dr. Underwood, in terms of threats or some kind of disaster that befalls a particular reef in the Kimberley?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Vanessa. And there is the primary disturbance that's happening up there now is bleaching. And we've had just in the last few months, there's been another small bleaching up there. So that's when it just gets too hot for the corals and they can't survive. And so what we're showing now is if we can protect sort of the networks of this connectivity. So we're looking at these, you know, the spatial distribution of these populations. How do they best continue on into the next generation? And we know that by that local, looking at that local scale area, we can and protect them from any local pressures that we can. So that's water pollution, maybe overfishing, things like that. Then we'll give them the best chance they've got to protect that source and then continue on and counter the effects of global warming.
And in terms of kilometre range, what sort of distance are you looking at for the neighbourhood focus of the coral larvae?
Yeah, so what we found, we looked at two corals. So one was a brooding coral and one was a spawning coral. So they got quite different ways that they release and move through the water column. But both of them were quite similar. So that was a really interesting result of the study. And for both of those corals, not many of the larvae are moving more than 35 kilometres. So if you had an area of reef that actually got wiped out through a bleaching, you'd need to have a healthy population within 35 kilometres to help that particular disturbed reef recover.
35 kilometres is not much at all. And when you've got, say, a line on a map arbitrarily drawn through the ocean, and that map might delineate a mining lease, a petroleum lease on one side, or it might denote a marine park on one side. But if you've got a reef 40 kilometres away that needs that larvae, it's going to miss out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's why DBCA, the Department of Biodiversity, Conservation and Attractions, have been doing a fantastic job, along with Parks Australia as well, using some of this information that we're finding at Ames and this collaborative effort with CSIRO and also the Indigenous Rangers up there, to be able to set up those networks that provide protected areas at that scale that's the most effective for their recovery, their regeneration and their maintenance through time.
What do you and the team learn from the traditional rangers when you were out on the coastline and doing this coral research? What do you take on board?
Yeah, Vanessa, we learned absolutely heaps. Yeah, this project would have not been possible without that local knowledge. You know, we just because of the extreme environment, we didn't really have much understanding even where we would find these corals. You know, and to have that local knowledge, the Badjari Rangers and also the Mayala traditional owners that helped us out were absolutely instrumental in the success of this project. And we're very grateful for that.
Dr. Jim Underwood, the lead author on a report which has found that Kimberley coral reefs are very close together in terms of their genetics, and they only spread at least 35 kilometres or so to recolonise other areas. Dr. Underwood's from the Australian Institute of Marine Science and part of the team that was looking at that project.